And this is why, and I'll explain it, and I apologize if I'm misstating your position, but if they agree that the obligation arose on December 12, 2010, and then this grace period allowed an extra 61 days.
The obligation to pay the premium arose on February, whatever it was, 11. And that's when the premium had to be paid under the terms of this policy.
Yeah,
it had to be paid on that date.
That's the distinction between the policy and the statute. If the policy may have allowed extra time, but 22905 requires notice as the operative date of when the obligation to pay, when is it due? When does the obligation arise to pay that policy? Even though the parties agree to allow more time, which is what Boring talked about, even if you contract for additional time, it has no effect on 22905 as a prohibitory law. So even if the policy does say, okay, we allow you 61 more days past the time this obligation arises, that doesn't change when notice is required under 22905. And the parties can agree to do those things, and that's fine. Technically, the parties could come to a consent. They have a good relationship and say, I tell you what, your policy's late. I'll give you another 3 months to do it. But that doesn't change the statutory notice requirements, which must be strictly mandated or strictly adhered to on 22905. And that's what Boring said. It doesn't matter. It's a prohibitory law. You can't change the terms of our law. You can allow extra time to pay. You can make those agreements as freedom of contract, but it doesn't change what we're requiring you to do under statute.
Did you argue below to the district court that the operative date was December whatever?
We argued that none of the notices were sufficient.
The district court, this sprang fully blown from the head of Zeus, namely the district judge, didn't it? I mean, and now you're supporting him, and that's what we all hope one will do with judges. But that wasn't your idea to begin with.
Well, I would say, to be frank, yes and no. What we said in the motion to dismiss was not October whatever is the operative date, in the original motion for summary judgment, is that none of these pleadings or none of these notices fit it, because the grace period started on December 12th, which meant as of that date the policy was past due. So the one annual notice sent prior to that did not provide the correct amount, and even one after that, by definition as a grace notice, did not predate the time that the obligation to pay arose. So, but we did, to be candid, initially say, hey, we thought the annual premium notice that you first sent us was the date, and we argued off of that. But I think what the district court did was proper, is the summary judgment standard is to look to the substance of the pleadings, and they went through and said, grace notices can't meet this statute, the requirement, because they are after lapse and the other ones don't comply. I think the district court was looking to the substance of the pleadings, even if we did not adequately flesh out all of those issues. I hope that does that.
Yep, that's responsive.
Would you address the issue about the 1 year after the 1 year lapse and the payment that you said you were going to?
Sure, Judge. Thank you for getting me there. The statute provides an automatic one-year continuation of coverage if it is not strictly complied with. What the Supreme Court said in Boring is that if you don't comply with it, your termination is illegal and of no effect, to quote them directly. So, and the Louisiana law operates as a nullity, as if it never happened. So from that point forward, the coverage continues as if there had never been a termination under the same terms of the policy. And in this case, the terms of our policy was you could pay premiums in any time and maintain the coverage, so we tried to do that. There's an affidavit in the record of the accountant who called the day after the grace period, got in touch with them the following Monday and tried to pay. They didn't accept it. Now, I understand opposing counsel says, hey, there's a factual dispute. We don't agree with that. But what there's not a factual dispute on is that within that 1 year, Johnson said, well, since you won't tell us what we owe, we applied for reinstatement, and that was declined. So there's no real dispute that Johnson & Johnson tried to pay the policy up during that period. And to respond real briefly in the time I have left, there was some argument that there's some Louisiana cases that say, oh, it's a one-year extension, and then it cuts off automatically. That's not what those cases say. Those cases address whether if you don't pay during that year, do you have to send a second notice? And they say, no, if you didn't get any premiums during that time, you don't have to send a second notice. But
are they obligated to accept the attempt to pay the premium?
May I briefly respond? They are, Your Honor, and two reasons. The one is that it continues on as if nothing had ever changed. Their attempted termination is a nullity. And the second is the stated purpose that this court recognized in First American and relying on Lemoyne, an intermediate Louisiana case, is that the purpose is to protect the insured from losing coverage. If we adopt Conseco's approach, as soon as they fail to do what they're supposed to do by give notice, that cuts it off at 1 year. It doesn't matter if we're just like this case where they've paid in $1.2 million in premiums. They can unilaterally decide, I'm not going to give notice, and automatic cut off. There's nothing they can do about it to redeem it. The purpose of the statute is to give them an opportunity to pay. So to construe it that their violation of the statute forecloses on the insured's opportunity to pay their premiums doesn't make any sense either.
Tell me again what the face amount of the policy was.
It was a $1 million policy with a $1 million rider. So it's a $2 million policy. And in the course of these 22 years, they have paid in close to $1.3 million. I can give you the exact number. It's $1,233,195.97.
I don't know where you get 97 cents.
I'm not real sure, Judge.
So that's over what span of time?
22 years.
All right, 22 years. All right, so most of that 22 years, the premiums were paid by a payment being sent in?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So it's the 22 times within the policy period where the premium was paid by deducting it from the cash value. Is that correct?
It was paid more frequently. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question.
Well, the briefing said there were 22 times the policy went into the grace period, which definitionally meant that the regular payment wasn't made, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor, because, and that's an important distinction, is that it fell in the grace period and they paid it because, obviously, Conseco's policy is we're not giving you notice until you're already in the grace period, which they argued in their brief jeopardized the very viability of the policy.
I just wanted to ask a question. I'm not giving you time to make more arguments. Just make sure I'm clear here. What I'm getting to is, so there was a million and something. Most of these premiums were made by whatever, check, da-da-da-da. But at some juncture here, we got 20 times in which it goes into the grace period, which means no payment was sent in, et cetera. So at the time we get to December 12th, February 11th, the grace period expired, which I take it to mean at that point there wasn't any more cash value from which the premiums could be deducted.
Well, that happened on December 12th.
December 12th, I'm sorry.
Correct, Your Honor. That, as of that date, there's zero cash value. There's no money to supply insurance.
Well, it says the cash surrender value will not cover the monthly deduction for the following month. So I don't know whether it was December 12th that it ran out of cash surrender value. It was sometime between then and February the 11th, I gather.
No, Your Honor. It comes to kind of like it's time to take the deduction to pay forward, and there was zero money to provide insurance moving forward. So as of that date, December 12th is the date they came to the cash value of the policy to continue the coverage, and as of that date, there was nothing there to provide any further coverage. And Conseco admits that in the brief, that as of December 12th, the cash value was zero.
All right. The cash value was zero because?
There had not been another premium paid into the policy.
Cash value not to be confused with face value or?
Correct, Your Honor. The almost flexible premium policy is you pay in, and I'm trying to limit it to your question. You pay in, and every month they pull it out of what they need to go forward. And as of that point, not the value of the policy should she die. It would be how much have you paid in. At that point, it's zero. There's nothing to.